I'm serious, Fred. This is not coffee grinds. This is asteroid stuff.
Well, the article I read doesn't have pictures, but that does look like coffee grinds.
Okay, well, it's not comet dust.
What?
Uh-oh. That, are we on the air?
That looks, Fred, like something Walt Brown would drink.
Could be. It's from asteroid Hayabusa, too.
Okay.
But, Fred, we got to do the show on masks.
Okay.
Masks.
Oh, that sounds good.
And carbon dioxide.
Hmm.
So we'll have to get to the asteroid thing later in the show. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
We get in trouble sometimes before the show even starts, Fred. We got to really pay attention.
Yeah, just brainstorming and yeah. And
because
just,
today.
You're showing me pictures that are just hard to believe.
Today. Yeah, is that from, that's from an asteroid.
That is.
That is just so awesome that Japan did that. But let's try to stay on topic because this is so important with the current pandemic, the COVID thing. We have millions of people wearing face masks, and we're told that the carbon dioxide that you breathe in, the excess carbon dioxide, it's not a problem at all.
Yeah, they act like it's zero problem.
Zero problem. So we have, as Real Science Radio is known to do, we have the peer-reviewed science, and we'll put together some of the new stuff with some of the old stuff.
Yeah, now October 2020 AAQR journal. That's fairly recent, right?
Yeah, imagine there's a journal called the Aerosol and Air Quality Research Journal. I mean, a journal just on aerosols. That's really great. And so the bottom line in this study, which we should get to after we talk about the NASA study and the Harvard study and all that, the bottom line is what happens when you're wearing a mask. They did a serious study here. Very technical. They made measurements using a non-dispersive infrared CO2 sensor, and they found out that carbon dioxide concentrations, what happened when you were wearing a mask?
Well, you know, when you're outside, you're not wearing a mask. You're breathing in about 500 to 900 parts per million of CO2.
Carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
So 500 ppm, parts per million.
Yeah. So when you wear a mask, and they tried this with the three major types of masks. You know, you got your cloth mask, your surgical mask.
And the N95 deals.
Yep. So when you use any of those three masks, and the masks didn't matter as it turns out, it jumps to 2150 to 2875 parts per million.
Okay.
So there definitely is an increase in carbon. So, quite a bit of increase.
So there's an increase from around 500 or so parts per million up to 2000. 28, even 3,000 parts per million. So that's like quadruple, five times, even six times increase. And so before we talk more about this paper, which was just accepted by the Journal of Aerosol and Air Quality Research, October 2020. So that's hot off the presses. Let's go back in time to the year 2015. So 5 years ago. And we're going to be talking about a study from Harvard, a study from Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, and all that in the context of an interview with a medical expert at NASA.
Yeah, Dr. David J. Alexander. He's at NASA's Johnson Space Center. So he was interviewed basically on the impact of carbon dioxide on astronauts. And they've done studies on this.
Yes, extensively. NASA has observed CO2-related health impacts, writes Joe Rome for thinkprogress.org, on International Space Station astronauts at much lower carbon dioxide levels than expected. So, Fred, NASA has long said, here's our standard, but they've been noticing that astronauts who are breathing air way below that standard that they've said is acceptable.
Yeah.
They're having health impacts, some of them serious. And so this guy that you mentioned, Dr. Alexander, he is the lead ISS crew surgeon for atmospherics. He's the guy who monitors the impact of carbon dioxide on astronauts. So I'd say he's the guy to talk to.
Absolutely. So he mentions a study from Harvard School of Public Health, along with an earlier study from Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. Those studies found the shocking results.
They say shocking.
Yeah, that carbon dioxide has a direct and negative impact on human cognition and decision-making when in the just the 900 to 1,000 parts per million range.
Whoa.
And even possibly at lower levels.
You're not editorializing. This is from this interview by Joe Rome with Dr. Alexander of NASA. And so they're saying when you get down that low, now we just mentioned the October 2020 study with masks.
Up to 3,000 when you're wearing a mask.
Yes. 2,000 to 3,000.
Yep.
General ballpark. So they're saying they found some direct and negative impact on human cognition and decision-making in the 1,000 parts per million range. And these are levels. They do point out that most Americans in office buildings and in airplanes, even in homes and cars, and kids in school rooms, classrooms, will experience that 900 to 1,000 parts per million. That's not unusual. Fred, you've worked in tech your whole career. I worked for some years. I'm usually in a radio studio. But I do recall, you know, mid-afternoon, and it's not necessarily just because people ate too many carbs for lunch. People tend to get drowsy, and it could very well be because you got 80 people on one floor for 8 hours, and they're all exhaling, and you come in the morning, and the air's a bit fresher.
Yeah. Yeah, I never thought of it from that perspective. But yeah, everybody's breathing, you know, exposing carbon dioxide and elevating that level to who knows what in an office. But they say it could be 900 to 1,000 maybe
on average. On average.
You know, I'm starting to feel drowsy now, Bob. I wonder if it's 900 to 1,000
here. I'll open the door, Fred.
There we go. That helps.
You guys be quiet out there. We got a radio show going on.
That helped. Okay, I'm much better now.
All that
fresh air came in.
Yeah, wasn't that nice?
Yeah.
So Dr. Alexander said about the new study, based on our review of this Harvard study and the literature combined with our own experience, it seems like a very credible piece of work. So Fred, not only are they recognizing that astronauts who are in excellent health are having a more difficult time as carbon dioxide levels increase, and we'll talk about how much they increase, but they've also identified the mechanism, they say, by which carbon dioxide levels could affect the brain, and the unexpected finding that each time they increase the parts per million by 1,300, so let's say you go from 1,000 to 2,300, you increase the odds of an astronaut reporting a headache, the odds of that doubles.
Doubles. Wow. And that's, again, we're still under the level that you get with wearing a mask.
Yeah.
You know, because you're going to get between 2 and 3,000. And this is, like you said, you know, maybe you're getting up into the 2,000 range.
Yeah.
But people complaining about headaches and, oh, yeah, it's just that masks
are good. In a more difficult time breathing.
Yeah. You know, where I work, they pretty much wanted you to wear, you know, if you're going to come in the office, you have to wear a mask. Well, the state mandates it. But I tried it. I was there for 3 hours.
The state mandates it. We've sued the state of Colorado, Fred, Denver Bible Church.
And won.
And we have won. We won in the federal district court.
That is so awesome.
And the state, then they appealed to the
And there was this temporary stay, right?
Circuit. There's a temporary stay, and we won that because the state conceded. They filed a motion to dismiss. So now we have won. No artificial limits on how many people could attend a church service and no masks in the church service. And so the state of Colorado, since the U.S. Supreme Court, in fact, one case that Brooklyn churches won at the U.S. Supreme Court like 3 weeks ago, they cited Denver Bible Church, our lawsuit, times. And just this past week, another church in northern Colorado won again at the U.S. Supreme Court. And so the state has been backing off. So that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. But your company said, well, the state said they should have fought it. But
they should have. They should have. Yeah. Okay. So I went into work and I thought, because I like the work environment, I'd rather work at work than at home. So I tried it. But after 3 hours, I started feeling...
The first day, three hours?
The very first day, I started getting a little of that sensation in my chest. Now, I have to give the disclaimer, I do have asthma. But I realized there's no way I'm going to do this. I mean, I knew that there might be some carbon dioxide effect, but I wasn't, you know, I hadn't seen
these. You didn't know about all these
I did not know about papers, these studies. Right. And I'm thinking, man, even if I didn't have asthma, I wouldn't want to based after reading the stuff we went through to prepare for the show and the science that's been showing up on this.
I have asthma. I have underlying conditions. I have overlying conditions. And I resist. You know, we are Paul Revere.
Oh, we are Paul Revere. .net.
Yeah, what a great website. So, Fred, well, to get back to this interview with this NASA scientist, the ISS crew surgeon for atmospherics, they mention a paper published in the Journal of Occupational Environmental Medicine called Relationship Between Carbon Dioxide Levels and Reported Headaches on the International Space Station. So there really is something going on here. But Fred, we don't want to overstate the case, but we also don't want to understate the case.
Mm-hmm.
And in this interview, they point out, Dr. Alexander says, look, when we study astronauts in space, you can't directly translate that to impacts on a typical person on Earth, because in space, they've got microgravity, and that certainly can increase sensitivity to carbon dioxide.
Yeah, but on the other hand, as they mentioned in the study, astronauts are healthier by far and more fit than the general population. I mean, they have to go through rigorous tests.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to be able to go up into space.
Yeah.
You have to be super healthy.
Fit and vigor. And they're screened before they're even into the program. They're screened for underlying cardiovascular conditions that may predispose to headaches. So they're the cream of the crop.
Yep.
So there are factors that say, well, these studies might not affect a person down here on Earth as much. But on the other hand, if you have underlying health problems, and if you're elderly or you're disabled, this increase in carbon dioxide, as we're going to talk about, this could become significant.
Yeah. So this Dr. Alexander, he explained that anecdotal changes include not just lethargy, but also not following procedures.
Yeah. So as they study the astronauts, they've been monitoring this stuff so closely. It's almost like a laboratory experiment. Wait, it is a laboratory experiment on human lab rats, basically.
Yep.
And they have seen it affects attitude, it affects decision-making, and it affects astronauts just basically blowing it, not doing what they're supposed to do. So for a long time now, NASA has had their maximum, what's your PPM, your parts per million for carbon dioxide? It's been 7,000. Now, in a little bit, we'll get to the fact that they've lowered it more recently.
Yep.
But it's been 7,000. And what they're realizing now through study is that way below that maximum, there are significant measurable health challenges.
Exactly. How many parts per million are in our regular air when you're outside?
Outside, typically they'll say, it depends on your environment too, even outside, but 400 to 500 parts per million. And indoors, like we said earlier, get up to 900, 1,000, could even get higher than that, depending on conditions, of course. Well, in this report on this interview, they mentioned that the EPA cited what's called a compressed gas association table. And this table, published 30 years ago, indicates that the physiological tolerance time for healthy males for carbon dioxide levels with a maximum exposure limit of 10,000 parts per million from 30 years ago indicates that healthy males can really only withstand a maximum exposure limit of 10,000 parts per million. And they say at 5,000 parts per million, okay, you can do that indefinitely.
Yeah.
Well, that's going back 30 years. And a lot has been learned since then. So NASA researchers found with actual astronauts on the ISS something that surprised them. Crews routinely report symptoms of acute CO2 toxicity. Acute means intense.
Yeah.
Severe. That's headaches, lethargy, and so on, that correlate it with relative elevations of cabin CO2 below the permissible level.
Yeah, and the study notes that ISS crews have repeatedly reported symptoms associated with the acute carbon dioxide exposure at levels of 6,600 parts per million. And then headaches are typically the first symptom reported by crew, although ground medical personnel anecdotally note changes in mood levels at levels as low as 5,000 parts per million.
And those symptoms were successfully correlated to the International Space Station carbon dioxide levels. So, Fred, they've got a 7,000 parts per million maximum that they've said, NASA said was safe.
You'll be good
for many years.
That.
And now they're finding, well, below that, at 6,600 and at 5,000, they're finding pretty significant, measurable problems that they can correlate to the higher carbon dioxide levels. But the interview continues.
So Dr. Alexander goes on to say that there's a strong suspicion that the observed symptoms were carbon dioxide induced, and that more studies are driving towards that conclusion. The recent research from Harvard would further bolster that conclusion.
Yeah, Fred, and they also point out in this interview that likewise with research from Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, the same thing. And these more recent studies include a 2014 paper in the Journal of Environmental Medicine, data on American, all these different astronauts, American, mm-hmm. Canadian, European, and Japanese astronauts. NASA keeps uniquely detailed records for each 1,300 parts per million increase in carbon dioxide levels. The odds of a crew member reporting a headache doubled.
Yep.
So, you know, at a Walmart here in Arvada, Fred, they have a notice posted. I should pull it up. In fact, I'll post it with today's show summary at rsr.org. And it says that they require their shoppers to wear a mask except for people who have breathing difficulties. That is really
that
nice
is good.
Of Walmart.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, Costco, take note.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, well, Home Depot's been pretty good, too, around here. But some stores, Costco, take note, some stores have been really unreasonable, even hostile toward people with disabilities.
They have been. So, Bob, we talked about, before we did the show, about a meme from 2045.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, heard on TV in the year 2045. If you or a loved one took the COVID vaccine in the 2020s, you may be eligible for it. And, well, here's a meme that should scare the living daylights out of Costco, right?
Yeah.
Heard on TV in the year 2045. If you were ordered to wear a mask 8 hours a day back in the 2020s, you may be eligible for, you know, let's say a class action $17 billion payout from...
You know, we laugh, but this could actually happen.
It could actually happen, especially since, as we continue, we find out, as a result of all its studies, NASA has continued to lower carbon dioxide exposure levels for the International Space Station astronauts down from 7,000 parts per million to under 5,300 parts per million. And remember, Fred, the study that we're going to get back to in a few minutes now, they said that basically when you put a mask on, you're going from about 2,000 to about 3,000 when you take their margin of error.
Yeah, so when you put it, you're going from about 1,000 to 3,000, basically.
Yeah, 1,000 to 3,000. And so NASA has come down from 7,000 to under 5,300, and that's for the most fit human beings.
Yep. So Dr. Alexander, he goes on to discuss the mechanism of how carbon dioxide might be affecting brain functionality. So this is interesting. For one, the carbon dioxide in inhaled air dramatically influences the function of major vital processes, including control of breathing, vascular dilation or constriction, particularly in certain brain tissues, And body fluid pH, which is interesting. Wow. My brother's a nutritionist, and he mentioned that. The body pH.
Yes.
How it can be impacted from acid.
Fred, an MD, a doctor, emailed me, I don't know, some weeks ago, saying, Bob, the masks are messing with our blood pH. It's very serious. Your lungs are an excretory organ. They excrete carbon dioxide, which you don't want to take in. We do, but you want to take in a minimal amount.
The right amount.
Yeah. So this mechanism, Fred, they point out as the fraction of carbon dioxide in your inhaled air increases, the body continually compensates to keep blood pH at a narrow range to avoid acidosis. We all want to do that. So then they say that NASA in 2012, they pointed out that CO2 is a potent vasodilator of cerebral blood vessels. Therefore, exposure to CO2 can increase intracranial pressure and the pH of the cerebral spinal fluid is affected. And that study, Fred, said unexpectedly, cerebral blood flow did not return to baseline. This is so interesting. It did not return to normal after the person began breathing normal CO2 levels. Their cerebral blood flow and hence increased intracranial pressure. It remained elevated through the end of the evaluation period, which went on for 2 weeks after the study.
Wow. So that's kind of like a long-term effect.
Yeah.
That may help explain, well, maybe not. I was thinking it might help explain why people wear masks in their car. You know, they've been wearing it earlier, and it made them dumber, and then they wear it in their car. I mean, see these people wearing masks
Elon
by
Musk.
Themselves, too.
Now, Elon Musk, he was told he had to be tested, so he said, okay, I want four tests. They did four tests on him. Two of the tests came out positive. Two of the tests came out negative.
Wow.
So I think he proved Joe Biden right, Fred. You know, Joe Biden likes to wear two masks. Only he's wearing them wrong. You got to wear one mask on the right side of your face and the other on the left so your right nostril doesn't infect your left nostril.
Wow.
So then, Fred, this 2014 Journal of Environmental Medicine that this interview they've been mentioning, it explains that higher cerebral blood flow raises intracranial pressure, presumably leading to headache. That's what happens when you got that increased pressure in your brain, presumably leading to headache, visual disturbance, impaired mental function, and other central nervous system symptoms. Considerably more research is needed to understand what the lower threshold is for CO2 impacts on human decision-making for various populations. That's where these Democrat governors, they're one size fits all, except for them.
Exactly.
No dining except for them.
Yep.
No travel for Thanksgiving except for them. You got to wear a mask except for them.
Yep.
You can't go get your hair done except for them. They're a bunch of hypocrites.
Oh, big, constant state of hypocrisy.
And we got to sue them and we got to disobey them, and we are Paul Revere.
.net. Yeah, because, you know, you think of the elderly population, too. I mean, they're being told they have to wear a mask. And I'm just, you know, you look at all this stuff we're going through here, Bob.
Yeah.
And you know what? If these studies were going through, if they were done now, I wonder if they'd be muted or you wouldn't find them on the Google search, because they do not go with the current paradigm.
Right.
They're actually going against the whole idea.
What a great point. And Fred, I know people know about this nursing home protest, but it was only north of our studios in Greeley, Colorado, where nursing home patients protested, and they said, we'd rather die of COVID than die of loneliness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We'd rather die of COVID than of loneliness. What a great point.
Yeah, and we have that list of 25 ways that the shutdown kills you.
Yeah.
And really, the list can be longer.
Yeah, the list of 25 ways
to link to that
kills
people. From this show.
We'll link to it from Good Idea from today's show. And we'll link to wearepaulrevere.net. Have we
.net.
Have we mentioned that website?
Yeah,
okay, good.
In threes.
Okay.
Third time.
So now we go to another paper, and this is published by Nature, but it's one of their Nature partner journals. And this journal, Microgravity, they partner with NASA for this journal. And this is this a COVID study, this one?
Nope. It's the effects of acute exposures to carbon dioxide on decision-making and cognition in astronaut-like subjects.
Astronaut-like subjects. So this was a year ago, June 2019, pre-COVID. And I think, Fred, the main point of this article is that the results are all over the map.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
They're having a hard time nailing down how much an increase in CO2 affects people. But the bottom line, I think you highlighted really the bottom line to sum up this entire paper in the journal Microgravity.
Sure, it's the characteristics of the people being studied are important determinants in the outcome of the studies in which effects of carbon dioxide upon complex decision-making are assessed. Mm. And so, you know, they had one study which included professional class employees.
Yeah, people sitting in office buildings, yeah. Tens of millions of them.
Yeah, like me.
Behind desks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I have a stand-up desk at work. It's awesome.
That is it motorized?
You know, so I'm saving calories. Oh, it's not motorized. That's a good point. I think I need one.
Yeah, you need. Yeah, Fred.
I need to put that request into the IT department. I want a motorized.
In your next year's,
you know, because IT at our company does everything. They even do desks. They don't do just PCs.
Awesome. Yeah. That's great. Okay, so, yeah, they studied professional class employees, and they found that their ability to do these complex management simulations was adversely affected at concentrations as low as 1,000 parts per million.
Yeah. And again, we're 500 when you're outside, and then in these office buildings, it's starting to—
Office buildings, 900 to 1,000.
You're at a level that could start having an impact.
And you put on a mask, and you're 2,000 to 3,000.
3,000, yep.
Yeah, and it doesn't
masks
matter
have no effect.
If it's a KN95, if it's a surgical mask, if it's a cloth mask. They found basically whichever kind of mask, the results, they all increase carbon dioxide.
The mask didn't matter.
No, it depends on if you're sitting at your desk or standing, or if you're walking slowly or walking briskly, those things do increase the carbon dioxide level that you're breathing in. And by the way, the KN95 mask, it's like the N95, only maybe not quite as good.
Yeah. It has a K in the front.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. So again, the point is, doesn't matter of the kind of mask, your carbon dioxide is going to really more than double, triple, mm-hmm. quadruple.
Yeah. Then finally, before we return, like we said, to the Aerosol Journal, this Harvard study that was published in 2016, Environmental Health Perspectives, in that journal, they gave really significant cognitive tests. So these sound like they were pretty difficult to accomplish these. And they found that for 7 of the 9 cognitive tests, average scores decreased at each higher level of CO2. In fact, cognitive scores were 15% lower for moderate CO2, and that was about 1,000 parts per million. Mm-hmm. And 50% lower after a day at 1,400 parts per million.
Oh, man. And, you know, I have to zoom in to some of these meetings at work, and some of them are on video now.
Yeah.
And these guys are all in the conference room with masks on. I feel good. I'm working from home now.
Yeah. Do you have to wear a mask when you're on the Zoom at home? They don't make you do that,
well,
right?
You know, if I'm inside
Misery
long enough.
Loves company.
Exactly. And if I'm inside long enough and breathe enough carbon dioxide with my wife and when my daughter's visiting from college and whoever else visits, because of its long-term effects, I might end up wearing a mask and not know it because I just became dumber. Like, if you ever see me showing up in the studio with a mask on, Bob?
Yeah.
Please shoot me.
Well,
put me out of my misery.
Well, this morning, you know, Fred, once in a while we mention our wives. I have an awesome wife.
Oh, yeah. I have the best ever.
But she was complaining this morning. You know, she's trying to brush my teeth while I have my mask on. It's very hard to do.
That's funny.
Okay. So we're back to the journal paper we started with from October 2020, Aerosol and Air Quality Research. In this study, the carbon dioxide concentration in the breathing zone within your mask was measured for a surgical, a KN95, and a cloth mask, and the measurements were made with a non-dispersive infrared CO2 sensor. They detected CO2 concentrations within the range of 2150 to 2900, but there's a plus or minus 300. So really it's 2000 to 3100.
Yeah.
That's what they found. And if you did not wear a face mask, it was 500 to 900 parts per million. And so they point out if you're walking, you know, it goes up. If you're walking briskly, it goes up higher. And
When you're wearing a mask.
When you're wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. And concentrations in the detected range can cause undesirable symptoms.
Wait, undesirable symptoms?
Yes, such as fatigue, headache, and loss of concentration. And so, Fred, in their conclusion, they say there were no differences observed between the three types of face masks they tested, but concentrations above 1,000 parts per million, and they're getting this from the literature, can cause undesirable symptoms such as fatigue, headache, and loss of concentration. This may be relevant for those segments of the population required to wear face masks over long periods of time.
Yep. Wow. And Bob, they conclude, wearing face masks only when strictly necessary may reduce these undesired side effects.
Yeah.
Wow.
I guess that would reduce them.
Yeah.
So, Fred, that was really a worthwhile run through of the latest science with the published peer-reviewed journal papers that Google never got around to banning from the internet because they were pre-COVID.
Yep, exactly.
So we've got pre-COVID results of increasing carbon dioxide along with post-COVID measuring of how much carbon dioxide you're breathing, 2,000 to 3,000 parts per million. And it is a problem for people with respiratory, with heart, with headaches, and
it's going to be worse for older people.
Yes, for the elderly and a host of other health problems that are related to those issues.
Yep. Wow. It's just like all the controlled randomized studies before COVID showed that wearing masks, when you actually look at the impact on a society, they don't work. That's what randomized controlled studies do. They're the best kind of study to determine that. And, you know, the Danish, they did that study here recently, and the New York Times is critical of it. It's like, well, it doesn't show that. Well, let me just say the Danish study showed that wearing masks didn't help.
Yeah.
It didn't help the wearer.
Well,
so they'll spin that and say, well, but it still protects other people if you're wearing it. It's like the bottom line is, let's do have a randomized.
Can I be the devil's advocate?
Sure.
Let me prove the effectiveness of wearing masks for the general public. We've had mask mandates in the extreme through September, October, November, and our COVID cases are through the roof.
Oh, exactly.
And deaths are through the roof. So the more you wear masks, are we seeing that it's flattening the curve? No, we're not seeing that at all. So
instead you're seeing people fumbling around with their mask like I do and just making it worse and wearing an older mask and just
Seen the video of the medical doctor vaping through masks, he tries every kind of mask. It's the most hysterical video I've ever seen.
I've seen that.
It looks like he's Uncle Fester from the Addams Family. Every kind of mask, he breathes in from the vape and he just breathes out and it's coming through the mask around the mask. It's just a hysterical video.
Oh, man. Wow.
So I would like to know the size of the average vape particles compared to the aerosols carrying the coronavirus. Because the vape particles, they're so big, you can see them. You can see the whole cloud. Somebody breathes, you don't see a whole cloud. Yeah. Just the gut feel, the vape particles are bigger than the aerosols people exhale. And yet they come right through those masks, every single one of those masks. No problem whatsoever. We'll link to that from today's show summary.
And you know what was kind of annoying? I was at a Bronco game, so I was one of those win the lottery, get to be one of the 5,000 to go to the game.
Yeah.
So Ryan and I are there. There's very few people in our section, but they've got this mask mandate. And they've got the mask police coming up saying, you got to have your mask. And I'm like, hey, I got a note from my doctor. And they're like, oh, they allowed me to wear a wrist thing. And so I could wave that up in case somebody started walking up to me.
Oh.
So hey, I wouldn't have to wear a mask. Yeah. So I got a note from the doctor, which was cool. So next game, I made sure I got the little wrist thing that I could wave up.
Well, they're behaving like Walmart in Arvada. They're behaving reasonably. Costco still is hostile toward people mm-hmm. with disabilities.
Yeah.
They're like, look, you're going to wear a face mask or we're going to call the police.
Yeah.
Or you're going to wear a yep. shield. And hey, Fred, one guy, he had a severe heart attack. He had eight times it took for them to get his heart started again. And that was this year. And then a couple months ago, he's in American Furniture Warehouse. They said, wear a mask. He wore a mask. He passes out. He ends up in the hospital for 11 hours in the emergency room.
Oh, my goodness.
And so he went into Costco. He didn't want to wear a mask. And they're all over him. You got to wear a mask or you're out of here. And it sort of got ugly. He was respectful. I've seen video of some of this incident. Wow. And he goes out and they got the police there telling him, you better watch out. We're going to charge you with trespassing.
Wow.
Wow, huh. That's how you treat your customer who has a severe disability? And think about the ADA, too, the Americans with Disabilities Act. Costco, they got two conflicting things, their mask policy and the rights of people with health challenges.
Yeah.
And they claim to support both, but they conflict, and they better decide quickly which one they're going to support. They better.
Yep, I agree.
All right, so we're out of time.
We are paulrevere.net.
.net. Next week, our annual Christmas program on Real Science Radio, The Star of Bethlehem.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic.
And then, Fred, we mentioned that the Japanese brought back some asteroid dust, some little particles.
Was coffee, because like it really looks coffee like grind. Coffee.
Yeah, but next time we're together in the studio, let's do a show, at least a segment, on what they're going to find. We should make RSR predictions. Like at rsr.org/predictions, we should make predictions of what they're going to find, because Walt Brown and his Fountains of the Great Deep, he's already been confirmed on the most extraordinary predictions on what the astronomers will find in comets and asteroids.
Yep.
So great.
Can't wait for that one.
Yeah, it'll be super. Okay, this is Bob Enyart and Fred Williams for Real Science Radio. May God bless you. Intelligent.